You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
Yeah, it's great.
75%.
That's really nice.
Like down to 7K, 8 hertz. Is that good?
Perfect.
Yeah, that's great. Cool.
We only deal in hertz.
Yeah. What hertz would you like me to put it at, sir?
Everybody hurts.
Hey. There you go. That's what we're going to start with.
Perfect. Welcome. It's the Ride or Cry podcast. This is Ricky.
It's Jacob. Yeah. We're here with two dudes from a band called Swimmers.
Hi.
I'm like Joey. The name of the podcast. It's really cool.
We're very lazy here. We're not very good at naming anything. It's just the name of our company podcast.
Yeah.
And then all of the Emo Night merch is just called Grave Boy.
Yeah, we went through like several iterations.
It's gray t-shirt.
So we were just like Grave Boy. The Emo Night podcast. We're like, no, we're gonna have like other people on this. So, and then we just landed. We're just
straight
going with the company name. But for anyone listening, this is a rare thing. Our moms and dads, TJ, Morgan, and Babs, are on the Warped Tour cruise right now, or at least flying out, and they're gone all weekend. So we're taking over.
Yeah, they might not ever come back. Welcome to a day in the office.
Yeah, the end of the company.
Constant talk of death and
we're the last podcast.
Spooky stuff.
Thanks for having us on the last podcast ever.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Glad to have you.
This company is going to fall apart while they're gone. So you guys are playing tonight?
Yeah.
At the
Fonda.
Hell yeah.
The music box.
Yeah.
For all you Lokis.
It has a lot of different names.
Isn't that the original name?
I don't know.
It's called the Music Box, and it's also called the Fonda, and I've heard it called a few other things, but
the Forum. Some people call it that.
Yeah, it's called the Hollywood Mall.
Staples Center.
So we're playing there.
Sick. Who are you guys playing with?
The Interrupters.
Okay, cool.
And his band Sharp Shock.
Rad.
Yeah.
Awesome. Sick.
Cool. How's tour been so far?
It's been awesome. Like, it's cool because the Interrupters are a ska band, and it's like two-tone revival, so it's really sick, and it's fun because we're a very different genre from them, but like we've always grown up playing with ska bands, and so it's really fun, and like they're such nice people, and it's been fun.
It's also nice because we've done like support tours for the last year, and so to finally do like our own headline tour, especially in the States, is really fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. How deep are you guys in on tour?
I mean, we did like a month in Europe right into 2 weeks, and this is the last weekend. So we do LA tonight, Oakland tomorrow night, and then San Diego on Sunday.
That's not that bad.
Just a couple zigzags.
Like, yeah, it's better than like 3 months on the road.
Yeah.
You guys will get there, though.
We'll get there.
You probably have done it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Not to be like,
we've been on tour since 2015.
It's grueling, but anyone who can do it is crazy enough to fucking like stick to it, hopefully, and it's good. And you just gotta not be hungover every fucking day.
Yeah. And eat a lot of room service.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, even I mean, you guys are I didn't know I was talking to millionaires.
I gotta go take a loan when I go to Chipotle. So. Yeah.
Room service.
Yeah. We're not supposed to.
Yeah.
But.
Well,
I order it.
That's punk rock, is spending a lot of money.
On spaghetti. You get spaghetti. We call ourselves the Spaghetti Playboys.
Spaghetti Boys?
Yep. Yeah. If you stay after midnight and order spaghetti at the hotel.
What's the best place you've ever had spaghetti at that's a chain?
There was a hotel in Europe. It was the best.
Was it in Italy?
No, it wasn't
Germany
in Italy.
Germany has the best spaghetti bolognese, in my opinion.
Really? You know, it could have been in Germany at a hotel.
The Germans.
I remember ordering it, sitting in bed, being like, this is the best spaghetti I've ever had.
You feel it? You do, like, find these weird pockets.
Yeah.
Of, like...
Hilton's or something that
make
good spaghetti.
Especially, like, in Europe, I would I would dare never try to eat a fucking burrito in England or Europe.
No. Oh, no.
We were playing some festival up in, like, northern UK.
Yeah.
And someone there was like, dude, you have to try this burrito. The guy is from California, the guy making it. He's like, dude, who, like, I hate to say it, but you can find decent food in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, my one attempt at getting some kind of food in, like, London, I was over there and I saw nachos on the menu, and it was my first night and I was just super groggy and I was like, yes, give me nachos. And it was just chips with, like, spots of cheese on it. It was the weakest nachos. Like, I grew up in San Diego, so
yeah, that
I'm
sucks.
Used to some really really good Mexican food. Even up here, I mean, it's just like
you guys are looking in the wrong places.
Debate,
yeah,
really? San Diego.
I hate to be so
Mexican
cliche.
Food debate.
Dude, it's
I'm
all
just hungry
about
too. It's
San Francisco,
noon.
But that's
Mission
okay.
Street,
still,
Taqueria.
Okay, yeah. I mean, here we go. Yeah. Like, now we're the trifecta of, like,
yeah,
people arguing about food in California.
Sinaloan International in Oakland.
I think Bakersfield.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Santa Cruz has really good Mexican food, actually.
Bakersfield main export is, like, nu metal bands. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Memphis Mayfire.
Dude, corn.
Through the
first,
fire.
You know, the first show we ever played on tour, ever, when we were, like, 13, when we were in Emily's Army, was at Randy's Pizza in Bakersfield.
Oh, yeah. They used to do basement shows, right?
In the basement. Yeah.
With Memphis
Mayfire.
I didn't know what the fuck that even was.
I was so confused.
Yeah. Never seen anything like that. I just saw some, like, little dude on stage in Tom's, like, screaming his head off. We just played Fresno, and it was, like, one of the craziest shows of the tour, because not that many people go through Fresno, so then when you do go through...
Everyone
comes out, and people go crazy. It's like they'd never been to a concert before, but they've seen what to do at a concert.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, it was just insane.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, Mission Burrito?
Yeah. Or Mission Taqueria.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah, it's
Dude, that place is great. I try to go there every time I'm there.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like it's like open really late, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that kind of, Chipotle kind of stole their business model.
Damn.
And like made it clean and like a chain and not
as
good.
Don't make Mexican food clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, come on.
Yeah. Chipotle is too slick.
Chipotle is way too slick. But then they get you and they're the ones that get you sick.
I know, dude.
Too. It's like their freaking pork that I was in Berkeley. And the Chipotle there, like, because all the college students love Chipotle.
We gotta, like, bleep all this out. I'm just kidding.
But they, they fucking... So many college students just, like, dropped so sick. They were puking everywhere because Chipotle had bad pork for, like, a month. Dude.
Yum.
Yeah. Well, I hope they fixed it because they fucking eat there like once a week still. So.
Day where everybody got free food because of that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
It's a lose win.
Yeah.
Some people go down.
Win situation.
Yeah, because then everyone's terrified to, like, go, but it's free. So that's like.
Yeah.
I know. It's like a question of how hungry you are,
just
how big balls you have.
Just another, like, historic food rebranding.
Yeah.
Remember when Domino's rebranded?
Yeah, they got the garlic on their crust.
Yeah, and then the dude that there was that dude that was caught on camera who was like putting like booger. I sound like an 8-year old. Yeah, boogers on pizza.
Do people get off to that shit? Like, why do they do that?
I mean, dude, I'm sure if you're like underpaid and working like 500 hours a week, you're probably like not in the best mood.
Yeah.
Also, just customer service sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
I would fucking get fired so fast.
I think all it takes is like one negative comment.
Yeah.
From like a customer or your manager telling you something on the wrong day, and then you're like, all right, pubes in your burrito.
Fuck this. Yeah.
I would just draw dicks on all the outgoing boxes.
The two food jobs I've ever had, I've realized how nice you have to be to the people making food for you at restaurants, because they're like, They're a loaded gun. Oh, dude.
They're animals.
Especially, like,
Banshees.
In diners and stuff. Like, they're just working late. And, like, someone comes in who's, like, fucked up. But, yeah, respect the people that make your food.
Oh,
doesn't matter if it's bad service. Always tip
20%. Yeah, always tip 20%.
Yeah, like, fuck it, dude. It's, you know what? Unless they're, like, calling you names or, like,
slurs.
Yeah. But, like, especially on tour, because, like, you go through states where, like, their minimum wage for service jobs is below the federal minimum wage, and they expect you to make up with it with tips, but it's like in the Bible Belt, so people will tip with like fake money that has Jesus's phone number on it and shit. Yeah. Like,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Here's a tip. Psychos. Read the Bible. Yeah. Like they write that down on the line.
Yeah. It's like Christ is more fulfilling than. It's like, no, I got to make rent.
I don't have to tip you. Have you guys ever worked in fast food?
No.
No.
I feel like all we're talking about is food. I'm
it's so like 12:15.
Yeah.
And hungry. It's hot outside.
Lunchtime.
Yeah. I worked at a sorority and I was there like, I washed their dishes.
Oh.
And served them food on. I had to dress up and serve them food on Monday night.
Yeah. Let's back up a little.
Like burying a billion leads here.
Yeah. You created 20 questions for Ricky and I. First of all, sororities have dishwashers?
Yeah, they have like servants.
What?
Yeah.
They spanked them too.
Where did you go to school? And like
in Berkeley.
Oh, yeah, yay. I've never gone to college, so. Now I want to.
Yeah, you should get this job. My coworker lived for free in their like servants' quarters in their basement.
Dude, did you go to school in like 1918? Servants' quarters?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
They had like a dog. They had to wear dog collars too. Not
many. Well, was this part of like hazing or something?
No,
he was a volunteer.
My friend was like, "Hey, do you need a job? We're looking for a servant," and I was like.
Okay, so...
Yeah, like, it wasn't a thing where, like, you're in a frat and, like, they... I don't know anything about frat sororities.
I wasn't involved in Greek life at all. Yeah. I just had a friend who was in this sorority.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, like, come on Monday, we have free dinner for our guests. And I was like, oh, perfect. And so I went.
Is it all Greek food?
No, that's anyway. The thing.
Zing.
But yeah, then there.
It's like the Chipotle. Like, how poor are you?
Yeah.
Free dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, so
okay, so next question is what kind of food did they prepare?
It was generally pretty good. My first boss was this dude, Andrew, and he would just cook, like, burgers and,
So, like, a sorority is, like, a big house that dudes live in, right?
No. It's for girls.
Oh, yeah.
A sorority is a big house that girls pay, like, a crazy amount of money a month to live in, where they have all their meals taken care of and their room cleaned for them.
God, dude.
And, like... Yeah, it's wild. And they have, and then, like, it's like they're all friends that live in there because they, like, went through the initiation process.
But they all secretly hate each other.
Yeah. There was a lot of beef that I was, like, privy to.
Because they would come to you. You're the dishwasher.
Yeah.
You're like,
they'd pop in.
You're
like,
a good listener.
Hey, how
are
you doing today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a barber.
You're scrubbing like a big pot.
But then
like,
also,
I'm all ears.
It's like, Courtney's such a bitch.
Yeah. Back then, they were allowed to say that word.
Yeah.
They probably say something else.
Well, you're talking about Berkeley.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys are...
We never said that word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you guys see the rest of the states compared to, like, where you're from on tour?
It's crazy. Like, going through the South, going through the Midwest, there's so many different parts of America. I mean, even going through California, it's pretty crazy how different everything is.
Yeah.
And, like... The Bay Area is so interesting because, like, it's just, there's, like, I think you get a taste of everything you see in the rest of the U.S. in the Bay Area somehow, especially, like, when...
Except for, like, the racism.
Like, lately people have been coming in to, like, do whatever, like, they want their, like, fucking free hate speech thing that they got going on, the Nazis do, and so they've been coming into Berkeley to, like, fight Antifa, so there's been a brawl, like, once a month between Antifa and the alt-right.
Yeah, it feels like we're going back in time.
It's crazy, and so you get a taste of, like, the racist people and the, like, weird southern, like, good old boys and stuff, like, when you're in, I mean, like, not all, like... Good old boys are racist, but
I think, like, that's probably why that term exists, though. let's be honest. It's crazy because the South, in general, it's like sick. It's it has this like weird connotation of being like a breeding ground for racism and all that stuff. But like some of the coolest people I've ever met are from the South.
Oh yeah, they're
so diverse, like.
Yeah, it's sick down there.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
And for people who want to get into, like, counterculture and stuff and, like, underground music, like the stakes are so much higher for them because they literally have to like say fuck you, dad, and like be like, I'm not gonna be a racist, dad, and they have to run away and like it's crazy. Like talking to kids at the shows out there, they're like, yeah, like I don't know if I'm gonna talk to my dad ever again or my mom. And it's like, whoa, that's nuts. Like,
yeah,
I'm sorry. But yeah, so it's like they care so much more down there. And also, like, there's something to be said for the concept of Southern hospitality, because the kids who have shedded all the, like, bad things about that we associate with Southernness, they still have that, like, really down-to-earth, like, cool fucking just, like, nice thing about them. You know, they say sweetie.
Are most of your fans, like, younger or...
Yeah, probably between, like, 13 and 22.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So then, it's, like, trivial.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, their dads will come and fucking love it, too. Because, you know,
we just got their dads, not for the moms.
The moms love it, too, because we give a big shout to the moms. And so, yeah. But there's definitely an element of dad rock in what we do.
Yeah,
just,
totally.
Just enough to, like, entice dads who have good relationships with their kids to, like, bring them to the show. So it's nice to see family life intact and in a new iteration.
You guys are a rock and roll band. But, you know, like, I think that hits a lot of generations.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I was listening to some of your stuff. Ricky was showing me it a few days ago, and it's like it has a lot of influence from, like, bands that older people would probably resonate with. But
yeah.
You know, it's good. It's like
it's cool to have young people at your shows, though. It's, I mean, the youth is where it's at. You know, it's like having. I mean, our fan base is probably like 80% 13 to 22-year-old girls, and it's the best.
Yeah,
I mean, they're the most supportive. They fucking make rad gifts for us, and that's they cool. like buy our merch and listen to our music and like actually like. Connect to our music.
Yeah.
Instead of just like a bunch of jaded old people living in the fucking glory days, standing in the back of the room at the bar.
Yeah.
With like some crazy spiked hair.
Well, I also think with like technology too, it's so much easier to have a direct line with your fans.
It's so easy. And so there's no excuse for like bands who don't do that, you know? Yeah. There's a lot of bands who we've seen firsthand like disrespect their fans or like just don't care.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a privilege to have fans.
Yeah,
so, like,
these kids paid money to come see you, and they just love you.
Yeah.
And, like, they're just being open about how much something you did, like, that you didn't think was going to be, like, meaningful to other people. Like, they're just being honest about how much they love it and how much it means to them. Like, you're going to be rude to them? Like,
yeah. I mean, we've played so many festivals, like, all over the world, from, like, here to Japan.
Yeah.
And, like, everywhere you go, you see some bands just who don't give a
it's
shit
like
about...
It's, like, entitlement shit.
Yeah, like, we're in Japan, and people, they're, like, being rude to people, like...
Oh,
you know, obviously, a lot of people can't understand you, but who gives a shit? Like, be nice. Everyone there is so nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big staple to everything we do as, like, a company, and also, like, what Emo Night does.
Yeah.
Just watching... Actually, being on the outside of that and, like, coming into that world over the last year... has been really interesting as like a musician and like seeing how they connect with their fans and audience. I mean, I wouldn't even call them fans, dude. It's like a family.
Yeah. It's a total community, 100% of just like people coming together once a month to just like release all this shit that's happening, especially right now with everything. And same with you guys with your shows, and you're talking about your fans are like, you know, they're fanatical. They love you guys, and every show is like a release, and you guys are like genuine and outspoken about issues, and I think that's where you might connect with parents as well.
You either connect or you don't connect.
it's probably a pleasant surprise because, you know, when I was younger, like 16, 17, 18, and I would see someone there, like some kid, like 12, 13, like with their parents there, and it'd be like a funny thing. But then you, like, see it in a different light later on. Like, you guys are speaking on, you guys are very, you know, outspoken and genuine, especially, like, with your support of, like, Planned Parenthood and all the, you know, current issues.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that. Like, what are some, not issues, but what are some things that you guys are kind of, like, are talking about more lately that you feel like people should be talking about more, I guess?
You know, for us, like, we're lucky to where we're just, like, we have the privilege to, like, not be affected by most things.
Yeah.
Like, the group of us in the band, and so we always take it really seriously to just, like, try to stay up to date and, like, understand where everybody's frustration is coming from.
Yeah.
You know, and try to put as much support as we can into the world because people are supporting us, you know, making music and stuff. And so just always, especially at the shows, like, trying to subvert the idea that shows are a masculinized space. You know, I think there's a lot of groping going on, and it has been forever. And yeah. Especially at, like, punk shows and rock shows where the crowd is tight and there's a degree of anonymity.
Yeah.
And so we always stop the show just to remind everybody, you know, that if somebody's groping them, they can punch that person in the face.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then...
And if they don't feel comfortable,
we'll fucking jump in and stop. And
that's sick, yeah.
Yeah.
Every week it seems like something pops up. And like Cole said, like, it doesn't directly affect us, but we have a responsibility to make it known. And also, we have a responsibility to give our stance, you know? Like,
I mean, dude, you're literally on a stage. You're able to.
Yeah. I think it's irresponsible for, like,
yeah.
It pisses me off when, like, there are a lot of bands who just won't speak up, especially bands with bigger following than us. Well,
because there's some bands that exist that just are purely in it for the money and fame and. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, such a fucking outdated mindset anyways, because that kind of mentality only existed when people had, like, a year ramp up for a record that took, like, 10 years to make.
Yeah.
You know, there's just so much information going out. Why not take advantage of it and be able to utilize the tools that you promote your music with to, like, also communicate with your fans and, like, you know, not push your agenda on them, but make sure that they know, like, you guys are... fucking real people.
Yeah.
I think it's important that Swimmers has defined itself or established itself as, and you guys are, you know, taking a stand right away. Again, like Jacob said, not pushing your agenda, but establishing an identity where you guys are saying,
we want to make it very clear. Like, if you come to our show,
there's a code of conduct.
Yeah, there's a code of conduct. And if you don't respect that, don't show up, or we're going to stop the show. Because, it's hard enough for people to stand up for themselves, and so we want to make sure that we can help that. And if someone can stand up for themselves, then do it. And, like, we want to help inspire that. But we totally get if you can't.
It's crazy how quick basic human mentality and, like, common sense flies out the window when people are together in a group.
Yeah.
Maybe don't, like, grope a girl that... Don't grope a girl, period.
Yeah.
But... But
people just want to crowd surf, like,
people just want to fucking...
That is the thing about our times now, is everyone's so hypersensitive and hyper aware. Sometimes it's a little too much, sometimes it's like you don't know, like, how to like word things. But because everyone is a little more hyper aware, I think issues like that are more handled better.
And I think, like, also just it there is a way I'm very grateful that we have found, I think, a way to address that, like, sensitivity and that awareness without like, I feel like some people think that awareness is, like, impeding on their ability to have fun.
Yeah.
It's not. You just have to be aware of
it. I mean, you guys aren't Rage Against the Machine. You guys are, like, just like, dude, don't be a fucking dick at my show.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Pretty simple. You're not
We also, do, like, Cole does, we'll say on stage, like, this is we are a group of four people, guys on stage that, like, you know, we believe in Black Lives Matter and we believe in respecting other people and freedom of speech. And, you know, that's also important.
Positive ideas.
Yeah. It's not just like treat people equally and fairly.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. And if you don't, get the fuck out or get punched in the face.
I mean, dude, I wish the world worked that easily.
Yeah.
Honestly. So tight.
But a concert can work that easily.
Yeah.
And so
that's why we're so grateful.
And so that's why we're grateful, and that's also why we need to take advantage of being able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's so infuriating seeing, like,
so how do you guys
bands
deal
not
with,
do that.
How do you guys deal with the haters?
You know, the other day in Orange County, I don't really care about internet haters because it's just like...
You're going to get them.
You're going to get them.
It's
and
like
they
part
have
of
that,
the fun.
They have that. They can hide behind their little screen.
Yeah.
And they, like, take pleasure in the fact that it's not real. None of that's real.
Yeah.
But this kid comes up to me after our Orange County show the other day and he goes, "Your band sucks." I'm like, oh. Well, thanks for buying a ticket.
Peace.
Yeah.
I usually, if I see anyone in the crowd, like, who's there for, like, one of the opening bands who, yeah. like, is a little frustrated with us, I'll just get a bottle of water and I walk to the front of the crowd. I get off the drums. I walk to the front of the crowd and I just soak them as much as I can.
One time there was this aggro, like, alt-right dad in Detroit when we played, and he was, like, a foot taller than everyone else in the crowd.
Huge.
So, like, all I could see the whole fucking show was just his, like, gross face, and he was just, like, there, like...
And then his brother goes, I want to see a circle pit right around that guy right now. And then I just started throwing water, and we were flipping him off.
Have you guys gotten in fights with people?
No, thankfully. I mean, there's a... Apparently, the East LA skinheads have a hit on me tonight. I saw that
so
on a YouTube comment.
This is
going to
be the fucking last time.
Yeah, this might be
the final interview.
Jesus Christ.
And we're talking about food.
Yeah. Food and skinheads.
The final interview.
On you. Can we ask how that...
I don't
about.
Know. It was just a YouTube comment. Someone commented, I can't wait until the East LA...
Dude, if it's on YouTube, it has
to be.
It's
real, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, something...
Is this, like, username, like, skin boy?
It's like, you know, a story that's...
OC skin boy?
Yeah. A story that's inspired me, personally, is that there is... Bye, Chris.
Bye, Chris.
Just making tons of noise over there.
One of our friends,
he's
our manager.
Okay, cool.
One of our friends is a pro skater, and back in the 80s, he put out his first pro deck, and it was a tree with a hanging Klansman on it.
Jesus.
And he called it the Hanging Klansman.
Yeah.
So he got all these death threats from KKK members throughout the South. And I was like, what'd you do? And they were like, those are real, like, people are writing letters to you. It's not just like an Instagram comment.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, me and the rest of the Thrasher crew, we put together a skate tour going through every single city. They said they'd come after us. And I was like, did anything happen? He said, not one of them showed up.
I mean, they're all keyboard warriors, dude.
Yeah.
Like, they're fucking, they're just
from the beginning of time,
like,
it's like, for, like, it was a typewriter, and now
typewriter
it's a
warriors. Yeah.
I mean, it's just part of the, if you're doing anything right, someone's going to think you're doing something wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
And it sucks that it has to revolve around music. It's like a weird phenomenon. There always is that one person at a show, you're like, why are you even here?
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah. You know, so it's like, there are times where I see someone, like, flipping us off, like, at a festival.
He's, like, 16.
Well, I've seen, like, a 40-year-old, like, flipping us off.
Oh,
and I'm like, why are you our fan? We don't care about you.
Yeah.
but then all of a sudden, next song, he's singing every word. And I'm like... So you like our band, but you just want to be a dickhead.
Two words, guys. Alcohol.
But on the note, I guess, of positive interactions with your fans. It was a couple years ago. I saw you guys at, what is it, the Troubadour.
Oh, cool.
With, like, Twin Peaks
and Waves. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Dude,
like, that was a great
you.
Lineup, because I only knew of Waves, but, like, I showed up early and, like, caught you guys. And I was like, holy fuck, like, this band's dope.
Thank you.
But after the show... like, I went on, you know, the event page or something, or your guys' like Facebook, and I saw a fan like comment on something. I don't remember any specifics about it, but you responded personally, and like that was really cool. And I saw you have a dialogue with her where you were like, "Well, I'm not sure about this thing. Can you educate me on this?"
Mm.
And you proceeded to have some kind of like short discussion just on right on the Facebook page, and I thought that was really commendable and like really cool. Do you find yourself doing that often or having these kind of discussions with fans?
I think earlier on it was easier just because Facebook was more manageable when we were first like launching our album and stuff. But like definitely just always I think it takes a lot of courage for somebody to call out someone they respect and admire and the music that they like. And so I always try to keep an open ear when somebody's mm-hmm. bringing a new perspective to the table and bringing up something I might not have thought about, you know? Because at the end of the day, we have limited perspective. We play music. It's not like it's part of our job to be aware of how people perceive media and how it affects people. But most of the time, we just play instruments. And so if somebody has a more refined opinion or an experience that they could offer that maybe we didn't think about, then yeah, we're definitely open. And
that's cool.
We have a very diverse fan base too, which we're really fortunate of, you know? And so to be able to hear stories firsthand and like have conversations and like even if we can't respond to every message, I think it's fair to say we pretty much read every single thing someone mm-hmm. sends us. I mean, instead of letters and getting fan mail like that now, it's like DMs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't respond to any DMs
straight up
just because I feel like DMs. It's easier to mm-hmm. like have like a kind of like one stance. But mm-hmm. then I read all of them and you take everything everyone says in and then you can kind of think about that. And I think it's more important for us to just be in, like, have open minds. Because
what's the craziest DM you've got?
Come to Brazil.
We get that one a lot.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like so much now. You don't know if it's a meme.
I think. Or, I think every fan yeah. in the world.
Are we
needs
huge
to set
in
up
Brazil?
A tour right. in Brazil.
Yeah.
We need to do like a Live Aid Brazil and give them yeah. what they want.
For every band.
Every
ever.
Band.
Just
every
for a
band.
Week straight.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Warped Tour.
It's gonna be called Come to Brazil Fest.
Come to Brazil. But I think like we got. I always get the ones that are like. It's like people who think I'm just an influencer. And so they're like, yo, do you know that you could get paid for how many followers you have? Like,
it's like an Apollo like, College ad.
I'll pay you to rep my brand. I'm like, I don't want to rep brands.
Yeah.
I mean, we get it better than most. Like, we tour with a lot of bands who have, like, a lot of girl members in them.
Mm-hmm.
And they get, like, some fucking weird stuff sent to them.
Dude,
like, we, I mean, yeah. you know, some imagine. Girl saying, like, hi, I love you, like, come say hi in
Brazil.
Like, yeah, in Brazil. They get like fucking dudes who have full conversations with themselves.
Oh, dude.
Like,
yeah.
saying some gross,
yeah,
weird. And like, to me, like, I was like, man, this is crazy. But then they're like, yeah, it's fucking weird.
Well, it's just guys that are just being entitled pricks that are
yeah.
like,
you owe me this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Open my dick.
I showed you my penis.
Yeah.
Why didn't you reply?
Yeah.
I guess on that note, do you guys have any
penis? On the penis note?
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll go with that one. Second question. Any, like, female-fronted bands or you know, that you guys are into right now or have gone on tour with that you guys, you know, would like other people to know about?
Yeah, I mean,
what are just the best bands you've toured with that you like?
We just did a tour with the Regrets, and they're from here.
Oh, yeah.
They're fucking
and,
cool.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, and they're, like, really tight musicians. And
yeah.
that's something as, like, as a drummer and not, like, that's what I pay attention to a lot, live bands.
Mm-hmm.
And so to go on tour with them
Same
and see
dude.
Them,
drummer.
I was like, fuck yeah, this band's great. And then this band, Destroy Boys, they're mm-hmm. our friends.
Is that
also.
A play on the Beastie Boys, like, shirt?
I think it is.
I think
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
yeah. Okay.
That's tight.
But they're rad.
This band Dog Party from Sac, both Destroy Boys and Dog Party from Sac.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's rad. Super cool people. I was really into Gloss when they were around, but
yeah.
they don't exist right now, so that's sad, but...
Yeah.
And, like, Bleached is so good.
Yeah,
the new
Bleached.
Paramore album is
oh,
fucking
yeah.
epic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like...
They're out, or they were just out together, right?
Yeah.
Bleached and Paramore, yeah.
Yeah, we're friends with the girls in Bleached.
Yeah.
And
we made their website.
Really?
Yeah.
Hell what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, they're... Jen's
Jen
really
and
cool.
Jesse and Clavin. The Clavins, man.
Yeah.
Mika Miko.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some LA fame.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of great things musically in the city.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out Mika Miko. Rest
yeah.
in peace.
So Drive North is 2 years old.
Yes. Yeah.
Now. And this
thought.
Is the final tour.
Yeah.
How have things changed for you guys, you know, since 2015? Because I think, yeah, when I saw you guys in September,
yeah,
record was out
yeah.
in October or something, right?
In February.
Oh, yeah,
our single,
I'm totally
we had single,
way off.
We had EP.
Off.
We had EP
we
come
released,
out.
We re-released the album that following October.
There we go.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And then, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
your Wikipedia says.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, how have things changed for you guys from then to now?
I mean,
and then
yeah.
moving forward, I guess,
yeah.
What do you guys... you know, going to be focusing on, I guess, as
yeah.
far as new album stuff goes.
We're extremely fortunate, but before we made the record, we kind of made a checklist of things that we wanted to achieve doing the record, and, like, everything that was on that list we've done, and some, I mean, we've got to travel the world. I mean, the other day, like, a couple weeks ago, we were in Japan, and I was sitting there, and I was just like, this is crazy that music has brought me to a country so foreign and so different, and... So to be able to do that, and then also just, like, the size of the shows and the people at our shows, like I said, it's very diverse now. We've toured ourselves a bunch. We've done a lot of support tours. And to see it kind of all come together on this last little run is really incredible. I mean, you see people who you never would think would be friends. I mean, we always, whenever someone says they're coming to a show alone, we retweet them, we post about it, and like we say, make friends. Yeah. And like we post it on Instagram, like, if anyone's coming to a show alone, comment on this post where you're coming and the date. That's and cool. Hopefully you'll meet friends. I mean, we have people who are now getting rides to our Oakland show from Orange County who've never met each other, and they're about to get in a car for 9 hours. And so that's like...
it's like the new ride share.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, our Instagram.
It's a good app ideas. Yeah. Fans just pushing people that need rides. Lift.
But that to me, that to me personally, that's like the coolest thing on earth. It's like we've had an opportunity to bring people together, expand our fan base, and see a world that... without music we would have never been able to see.
Were you guys into anything on Fueled by Ramen prior?
You know, we're not super like we grew up just in kind of our own little bubble of like really early punk, you know,
and dad rock.
Like my sister had a boyfriend who was super sick when she was in 8th grade, and he gave her like all these mix CDs that she put on her iPod, and they had like all the like 2005 indie stuff,
Shins,
Franz Ferdinand, Kaiser Chiefs,
even like Vampire, early Vampire Weekend.
And then she was into Vampire Weekend and that kind of stuff, and so that's that, and then mixed with just like being around, you know, like old punks through Billy, like we knew a bunch of like, I was obsessed with Operation Ivy.
Crimp Shrine.
And like Buzzcocks and The Clash.
We kind of skipped this whole like five. I mean, I didn't listen to the Strokes. I mean, we listened to the Strokes like when we were in high school.
Yeah.
And so we were like listening. I mean, every weekend we would
How
watch.
How old are you guys?
22.
Okay, yeah.
We would listen to like those bands and then The Who.
Yeah.
Yeah, and The Ramones. And
yeah, we used to watch like once a week. We'd watch The Amazing Journey, The Story of The Who.
Or so The Future's Unwritten.
That's cool.
But yeah, so like signing to Fueled by Ramen, to us, like, we knew that the bands they had were successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd never really heard any of their band's music until we were thinking about signing with them. Mm-hmm. And also, like, it was really important for us to not think about the bands that were on the label. It was more like the resources. And, you know, every band's different. No two bands are going to do the same thing. But do they have the tools and the vision that, like, is aligned with ours to make us go where we want to go?
Yeah.
And that was important to us, like, not just the bands, because we'd never really heard anything.
Yeah. I mean, Rosters, Fueled by Ramen, has consistently put out amazing records.
Yeah. And they still have a small roster.
That's cool.
On a major record. Yeah. I mean, they're a major record label with, like, 12 bands.
Yeah.
And you don't find that.
No, it was like Drive Through Records, Fueled by Ramen.
Yeah.
And you had like Saddle Creek, Jade Tree, and stuff like
Epitaph
that.
Epitaph was big then.
Yeah, Epitaph.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When in Epitaph's like transition phase.
Yeah.
You know, like from the like early punk stuff, they had like a really like solid emo phase with The Matches.
Yeah.
I love
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's
from
like
the Bay Area.
Only emo band that I really knew because. From the Bay.
Yeah. They were heroes when we were in like sixth grade.
Oh my god.
They went to our rival high school.
That's cool.
Yeah, every time I've seen them live, they've been like super theatrical and it's a really cool aspect of that band that I love.
Yeah.
So because you guys were like young when you started making music, did you participate in like school stuff? I mean, that's when you're young, dude. That's
like
the only way to like
sway
all the girls at your school and like pick up a guitar and like play the talent show.
Honestly, it mattered. I mean, it's crazy.
That was our first gig, the talent show.
Yeah, talent show. I mean, we've done everything together starting at age 5 when we started doing T-ball, and then we started music when we were like 10 years old. But honestly, like, it's funny now. It's such a cliche, but now so many people hit us up from high school who like never came to our shows. Yeah. Like, we're like the rugby guys come to our shows now. The
guys that used to call you every name in the book.
Yeah, the guys who would tell us to walk across the
guys
street.
That's what made me like really seriously consider, like, am I gay?
Yeah.
there's this girl who like there's this girl who was like beautiful. She was beautiful.
That's how you get back.
Yeah.
When you're successful musician.
This girl hit me up and she's like, "Hi, like, how are you?" I'm like, "Oh my god, like, last time I tried to talk to you, you didn't even care." And then all
you
of a sudden...
You guys are living in, like, a teen movie.
Well, she was asking me to promote her, like, Red Bull campaign she was working for. I was like, oh, no, fuck
you. She's, like, on that influencer tip.
Yeah. I was like, no.
Classic. You have so many followers.
Yeah.
Advertises protein powder.
You became one of them?
Wow. You're the hacky sack scene from She's All That. Is the equivalent of being in a band. So, it's pretty well known, like, your dad is a pretty successful...
Yeah.
Musician, he's in a band called Green Day.
Yeah,
you look a lot like him. It's very crazy.
Yeah,
but did he? I would imagine he probably influenced a lot of the music like you and your friends listened to growing up. Not like I listened to my dad's band.
Yeah,
but it seems like you guys listened to a lot of bands that he probably really enjoyed growing up, like older bands like The Replacements and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think it was like, it was a very two-way street where he always appreciated music that we brought to him. Mm-hmm. Like his older sister, Marky, who we were talking about earlier, she would show him music like, and then he would make her CDs because she was a little older than us.
Yeah.
And so honestly, a lot of the music came from like, my dad through Marky, his older sister, or Marky's boyfriend through Marky. And we're really fortunate because of all the music we are exposed to. I mean, every day there's some new record playing in the house when you wake up, and it's like,
that's awesome.
Who is this? And it's like, oh, this is The Jam.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, well, this is awesome.
It's cool to live in a house where like music's a big part of that.
Yeah, and both of our families come from that. I mean,
that's cool.
You go over to their house, there's music constantly playing. Mine's a little bit less, but like, at his house,
ironic.
I mean, I think, I mean, now I get it. When you're on tour 24/7, your ears kind of are over it. but we're really fortunate to have such a wide variety of music played for us our whole lives.
What's the craziest thing that your dad listens to now that you've shown him that he's like a huge fan and of that? Like,
you know,
there's
a song by Charlie XCX that was in a movie. It's like, it's like,
we're getting the, the dirt.
It's like called,
dad.
Yeah, it's called like I Don't Care. And we've
Oh, that's another person.
No, she sings that part. Yeah.
Oh.
She sings that. Yeah. but that song is like, if we fucking get down to that song.
Your dad knows a pop hit when he hears one.
Yeah.
Come on.
The other day I ran into him and he was like, "Hey, like, have you heard of this guy Post Malone?" I was like, "Yeah, what's up?" He's like, "I heard a Green Day cover he did, and I thought he was a rapper."
Oh, yeah, he did, like, like an acoustic version, right?
Post Malone's crazy because he seems like he is being stretched between two worlds. And, like, he auditioned for a band called Crown the Empire, I believe.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and he,
he's like a Warped Tour guy.
Yeah, like, he hangs with, like, the Warped Tour bands and, like, hardcore dudes that come through and all that. Because it's so funny, like, whenever there's, like, a band in town, and then they have photos from like their tour bus or whatever. It's just like, oh, there's Post Malone like again.
That's
with
so
this
crazy.
Like a random ass band.
Yeah.
And then you know, he likes to, I mean, he plays guitar too.
Yeah.
Does a lot of acoustic covers and things
That's
like that.
That's so crazy.
He came through to Emo Night and, you know, he dropped the like System of a Down
and
all that.
He's like the nicest dude ever.
Is
he's
a nice
so
guy?
Sweet. Yeah, he's like huge. He's like good friends with like Emo Night now and like
That's sick.
We're trying to do a lot more with him, but he's like super supportive. The nicest dude.
How
the
old
nicest
is he?
Smile.
I feel like he's like early 20s.
Really?
Yeah. I just right with these guys.
I'm in a text chain and he was like on Twitter talking with Anthony Green and I was like, would never have expected
He's
him
like,
to like,
he's a head huge dude.
He's
like,
a huge fan of Circa.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Post Malone's into your shit. Like,
yeah.
Wow. Which I thought was like pretty rad, but I was like, well, that's fucking weird.
It's always cool when people know and what they're doing in the music industry.
Because they're the deep cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys ever have anyone like unexpected that's a fan of yours, like walk up to you at a fest or a show and be like, "I fuck with you guys," and you're just like, has anything blown you away like that?
I know there have been.
The coolest is like whenever we run into Pennywise, the coolest thing is that like two of their daughters are super into swimmers.
So we take selfies with them.
And so like and I love Pennywise so much.
Yeah.
And we did a tour with them and I was so scared of them because they're all like big fucking Southwest LA dudes, just like they look scary.
Yeah.
All What's the lead singer's t-shirt? Name?
Jim.
Yeah, Jim. He was in that documentary about dads.
Yeah.
The other F word.
Oh, God.
Are there any other people who
I mean, like, Kristen Stewart came to a show, and that was cool, because I was like, I saw you in Zathura.
She's come to a couple, she's come to emo night.
Yeah, she rolls through, too. Zathura, that's a tight movie. It's like the pseudo-sequel to Jumanji.
What? Yeah, it's like about another board game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And same producers, too.
Yeah, like, and I think, like, early Jon Favreau directed that.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, also the Stranger Things kids.
Oh, yeah, we have a friend... Like, now we're friends with Finn.
Yeah.
And he's, like, the coolest little dude. He's so smart.
Yeah.
I told him, I was like, he was asking, because we had beer in the backstage, and he was just kind of like, I was asking him, I was like, so, like, do people, like, because he hangs out with older kids all the time. He's only 14.
You're about to put him on blast.
I was like, so, like, do all these kids, like, pressure you to drink with them and stuff? And he's like, you know, like, not really. Like, the pressure exists, but, like, I don't really have any interest in doing that. And I'm like...
Wow, but I am fucked up right now, dog.
Yeah. And he was like, he was like, so, like, do you party? I was like, not really. Like, I drink a little bit. I smoke a lot of weed. And he was like, how much weed do you smoke? And I was like, oh, you know, like, when I get home from tour, like, in order to just, like, reacclimate, like, I generally, like, smoke weed, like, mm-hmm. a lot. And he was like, sounds like you're an addict.
Wow. You should check out season two.
Yeah.
That's our plug.
Yeah, there you go.
It seems like he has a good head on his super shoulders. Cool. Did you guys see it?
Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I loved
he's
it.
He's great in it.
Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah.
All those kids were so funny.
Yeah. And then, I guess Zathura kind of brings us into School of Rock.
Yes.
If you guys want to talk about how you feel about School of Rock.
I love that movie.
Yeah. We're going to cover, like, all those songs one day.
Oh, shit.
Because when we were, like, I guess we were, like, 7 or 8 when it came out.
Yeah.
And, someone got a DVD, either he did or I did, and we watched it, and that was the moment where we were like, we're going to do it. We're going to be musicians.
Yeah. Because we were doing everything else with each other.
We were playing sports. Watching Lord of the Rings. We used to make, like, stupid jackass videos, too.
Yeah. We would dress him up in, like, hockey pads, and then me and my brother and his little brother. Yeah.
Just kick him in the balls.
We'd just kick him in the balls and beat the shit out of him.
Nice. I don't know. School of Rock, for some reason, it's one of the most fun movies I can think of.
I had no idea, Ricky.
Yeah,
I'm learning a lot about you right now.
Chillo, you got a bass.
It's so good. I love Jack Black. I saw him at Disneyland once.
He's tight. Yeah. I've met him a few times. Very nice guy. Very funny.
Yeah.
How'd you meet him? Festival Supreme?
God. I knew this was coming. This reoccurring nightmare of talking about
Tenacious
Supreme.
D is awesome, though.
Yeah, Tenacious D is tight. I saw a clip. I don't know. My brother's in town. We were just doing that thing where, like, you sit around, you watch YouTube videos with each other, and, like, try to make each other fucking
laugh.
Favorite
pastime of millennials.
Hell yeah. We came across a segment about funny news, like, casts and news, like, bloopers or whatever, and Tenacious D was doing the weather in New Zealand.
Whoa.
That's all I got.
I love those drop-ins where it's just like a random person
doing
the news.
Hulk Hogan so cool. The weather
Hulk Hogan. I know Borat did the weather in a few places somewhere.
I love when Snoop Dogg does, like, Animal Planet stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, where he narrates over
it's like, oh, look at that little squirrel. He's so cute.
So how do you guys feel about, like, finding time to do other things on tour? Do you guys go check out museums? Do you go to movies?
Yeah, I go to movies, like, at least once a week, and I go to baseball games.
That's awesome.
Whenever I can.
God, you guys have, like, a lot of time, it seems.
Yeah, I mean,
these past two tours, we shared tour buses with the other band.
That's so nice.
So we have so much free time.
Yeah, you, like, load in at, like, 10 a.m.
Yeah.
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 And then the rest of the day is your oyster.
Yeah.
So going to movies... Just walking. I mean, when you're in Europe, it's kind of like you want to be outside, going and explore.
Totally. There's
but
tons
like,
to see.
When you're in Kansas, you kind of want to go see a movie.
Totally.
I'm trying to go to every baseball stadium.
That's
in
cool.
America.
You guys
and Canada.
You're probably not gonna have an opportunity to go to the World Series.
No.
In LA right now.
We root for Oakland teams.
Is that happening tonight in LA?
I think it's tonight in Houston.
Yeah.
Yesterday was a day off.
Yeah, travel day.
Honestly, like, I'm kind of ambivalent about the World Series right now because, like, I think Houston probably, like, needs something cool happening
mm-hmm.
right now for them. But also, like, I really respect that, like, you know, there's not a lot of local culture in LA. I feel like it's all like exported culture.
Mm-hmm. And the
Dodgers are, yeah, and Dodgers are very much like for people who were born and raised in LA.
Yeah, it's super like it's a very multi-generational thing that you see across a lot of different types of families and types of people. It is interesting to see how sports kind of brings people together, and more so when the team is doing really well. Like, yeah. I'm kind of the same as you. I'm pretty impartial to like being competitive about it, but it's nice when you live somewhere where the team is like in the playoffs or like in the championship.
Yeah,
because like it's like
everyone rallies together.
Like,
yeah,
it's crazy. Like, you guys have like pretty intense fans up there, though.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm a pretty diehard Raiders fan.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I haven't missed.
You're welcome.
I've
for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, we gave you that.
Well, we first. We had them.
We gave it back.
Yeah. We leased them to you guys.
We polished them up for you.
We fucked that up.
But like, I watch every game. I haven't missed a game probably in 8 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
But like, what you're saying, like that happened. I remember the first time the Warriors got good ever, because our whole life they sucked, and then all of a sudden when we were like 15, they rebranded and they were like their shirts all said the town on them.
Yeah.
And they had Baron Davis, and they went like deep into the playoffs, and everybody in Oakland was just going nuts.
Oakland just
also the A's with like, the A's like
went up.
When the A's were doing well a couple years ago, like it was so fun. Just the stadium's packed. You go anywhere in Oakland, everyone says go A's, dude.
Dude, there's like nothing better than going to a sports game, even if you don't know shit about the sport.
Yeah,
I'll go to a football game. I don't even know how the fuck that sport works still, dude. Yeah. Like what, a yard, like a 10-yard what, first down? I don't fucking know. But yeah. I like hot dogs and I like pretzels with cheese.
Yeah,
I mean, come on,
give me some nachos and a baseball helmet.
Yeah.
Any opportunity you have to yell at like people that are doing good or doing bad is tight.
Fuck
the
Angels.
Yelling, the wave. It's I mean, it's a show.
Yeah,
but in a whole different. Baseball's so I don't know. It's non-participatory, but it's still a nice day out.
Yeah,
it's just like fun. Like, it's like sitting on the couch.
It's a nice taste.
Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like football just takes fucking forever, and that's why it drives me insane.
Yeah.
Basketball's tight.
Basketball. Like, if you want to get stressed out, watch basketball.
Yeah, I love basketball.
I
it's
love
great.
Basketball, yeah.
Tennis.
Yes. Golf.
No.
Some other, what, volleyball?
Yeah, I'm not so much used to the like roller coaster of sports stuff. Just growing up again in San Diego, we have the Padres and the Chargers, and they've done well like once.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ever like Padres had like the '98 season, and then once the Padres do well, like they don't, there's no money to like keep the players who are like really good. So all the other teams are like, we want that guy, we want that guy, and then they have to deal with a new team almost every year.
They're pretty much just a farm team for the whole MLB.
Yeah, so like everyone just kind of watches them and like cherry picks the like good players. So it's like a new team every other year.
What's the most popular sport in San Diego though?
No one cares. Like
especially not football.
Like no one cares. Everyone's too chill to like care about anything down there, which is tight.
There are a lot of Raiders fans down there.
Yeah,
we actually call it South Oakland.
Yeah, because like I said, like the Chargers don't do well.
Like when the Raiders would go down there to play the Chargers, the stadium would be more filled with Raiders fans.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The announcers would say, "All right, welcome to South Oakland."
Yeah, and you always have a few fights and stabbings and all that stuff. Yeah. It's really diehard.
A few people die, you know.
Diehard.
That happened
stuff.
Like.
Literally
wasn't
die hard.
Wasn't it a San Diego game at Dodgers where that guy got killed or like beat up?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it was like a
Raiders,
Padres game.
Was it not San Francisco?
No, it was in L. It was at Dodgers Stadium. It was a Dodgers fan and a. I like how everything we talk about it always has to go into like a negative space.
Yeah.
Someone died there, I'm sure.
Speaking on, I guess visiting every park.
Yeah.
Like starting in the Bay Area, like San Francisco, like AT&T Park is awesome.
That's really
one of the favorite ones that I've been to.
Yeah, I don't fuck with it though.
No,
I don't fuck with the Giants
because you're the A's man.
Yep.
So how's that stadium? I've never been.
I'll root. I mean, the stadium sucks.
Yeah,
but there's
it's
something
kind of
like
a charm, right?
Yeah, there's a charm to it. But we're moving stadiums to downtown Oakland.
Oh, sick.
And they're making a new one that should be done in a couple years. So yeah. That's going to be awesome. But gotcha. I don't fuck with any, I don't even go to San Francisco.
Gotcha. I grew up, my family is a Giants family.
Yeah.
And I like the A's because I think I just like, I really fuck with them and what they're about. And the Giants are cool. They gentrified with the city of San Francisco for better and for worse. Like, the stadium got so sick.
Yeah.
But then, like, it's kinda just
displaced,
like,
a lot of things.
Yeah, you just go and you're just surrounded by yuppies everywhere. Like, and that's cool because they have their space, but I'd rather be at the A's game, which is my space, you know?
Hell yeah.
Stay away from them.
Yeah, I think the Giants thing kind of falls apart once the Barry Bonds stuff hit.
Yeah,
dude. And like the, you know, they're like, savior dude.
I went to like a lot of those games where he was going to win the world.
Yeah.
That's how you play the game?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
The A's also do a lot for the community, like for the Oakland. Like,
that's fantastic.
They do a lot of outreach, and they also like we work with them on a couple things, and they hook us up with tickets. So.
That's sick. Cool. Yeah, I've only been around.
That's your influencer power.
Yeah, we're influencers.
To work.
Yeah.
Yep.
Always. I've only been around Oakland a few times, but solely vegan. Have you guys ever eaten there?
Yeah,
the vegan
good.
Soul food. Holy shit! It's that place is so good.
There's a ton of vegan food.
Anymore. Yeah, we're background around food, but yeah, solely vegan. Shout out there.
So,
well. Tell me about Cade Werner.
Legend.
That dude showed up at our show in Fresno the other day in a brand new Beamer with a license plate that said Sad Boy on it.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I fucking love that guy.
Yeah.
He's like listed permanently for all of our shows.
Yeah.
And you guys also know Alyssa, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
She was through Cade.
She was an intern here.
That's crazy.
For like 6
That's
months.
So sick.
Yeah, she's great.
The best.
She's
great. Sorry, Stephanie.
Cade's a great photographer as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
cool to see him like develop as a photographer.
Because first time we met him, he was like 12 years old and he came to see us at a house show in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah. I saw you guys post that photo of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's funny. Like, his Instagram is cool. Like, you can tell he's really getting into photography. I mean, at first it was just like an iPhone photo at every show he went, and now it's like some crazy epic shot that he got.
Shot on iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up.
Cool.
This is awesome. We've covered a lot of ground. We've even talked about sports for the first time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think podcast Morgan doesn't touch sports.
For the emos.
We're bringing sports to emo.
Hey, why not?
Hell yeah.
It's another place where people come together to have a good time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this will probably come out Monday, but I hope you guys have a good show.
Yeah, and, thank you.
You know, I hope you don't get killed. And for the East Los skinheads listening to this, give the boy a pass.
Yeah, thanks for coming through, Swimmers. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah, can't wait to see what's next for you guys.
Yeah, we'll see you guys tonight.
Bonjour, this is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor, and every week I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Enchanté. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food, so come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.